gentleman run over, and been a continuation to visit with George, Weil, and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of June, 74. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with George Weil and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of June, 74. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with George Weil and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of June, 74. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with George Weil and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of June, 74.
In that hospital, if you've been north shore more than 90 days.
Huh.
It's a crazy setup. They got the Coast Guard, postmen, all kinds of crap in there. I remember when I first went to one, I went to the one in Massachusetts there. I got in a little argument, and one of my eyes was damn near half out. And I was laying in the bed the day when the Hoolican Navy was starting to take them over. And this commander come through and everybody hopped out of bed, and I still sat my ass down in that bed. They told me, "Don't you know enough to get up?" I said, "Get up for what?" I says, "He don't mean a goddamn thing to me. I ain't in no service." Man, was they mad at me. But I stood my ground and just sat there. I says, "Piss on him."
Now, where was that, George?
That was in the Merchant Marine Hospital in Boston, Mass, out in Chelsea. The Coast Guard commander walking through our hospital. To me, that hospital belonged to us. We paid for it. And to get up and stand at attention while he went through there, I couldn't see that.
I didn't know the Merchant Marine went through all that foolishness of standing at attention.
They did after the Coast Guard took it over, but I still wouldn't, if I went in one of them, I wouldn't get up for no son of a bitch.
Did they log you?
Couldn't log me. I wasn't getting no pay. I was just in the hospital.
How'd you get in the hospital?
Huh? I got in an argument in a poker game, and me and some Spaniard bastard, and I had to go over there to get my eye fixed. I stayed there a few days. I wouldn't get up, because that big son of a bitch come through there.
You played poker? Well,
yeah, I used to, until I hit here. Pete Hall taught me not to play poker down here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He learned you the lesson.
I watched him and the rest of them. That's how I learned the lesson. I never seen a cheating a bunch of bastards in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Old Pete would do anything in the world for me, but he used to tell me, don't get in these poker games. You know where Cason's Corner is now. Well, that Pete Hall used to own that. That was, oh shit, that was 20-odd years back. One day I caught him, I'd just come back from Korea then, and I caught these bastards cheating left and right. And I got so damn mad, I wasn't losing anything to mount or nothing, but I just told him, next son of a bitch that pulls the wrong card, I'm going to stab his goddamn hand to the table. And Pete told me, come here, George, I want to talk to you. And he took me inside and talked to me. He says, if there's ever a square game here, he says, I'll let you know and you sit down and play peaceful. He says, but this is just a bunch we're trying to outdo from Georgia or someplace. I told him, when I play cards and some son of a bitch is cheating me, I'm going to kill the bastard. Oh, Pete told me, please don't play anymore, and I'll let you know when there's a good straight game. Told him, straight game, shit. I didn't see no straight games there all the years I used to hang around there.
I never see what he's
like a bunch of thieves.
Now, this is a young fella. He goes in. That's the story. He goes into it. He's a newcomer. Once this vessel is underway, the kid finds much to learn about the ship, the sea, and the men who have learned to walk the sea. His teachers are a strange lot of... Now, listen to this. His teachers, that is, the fellows he works with, are a strange lot of hardened veterans.
Mm.
The aged bosun, the wildly tattooed mate, the drunken captain, and the various crew members, Red, Gus, Gene, Blackie, and the mysterious satchel man, most are pariahs, brutish and profane men who regard shore leave as an interim in which to get drunk, brawl, take a woman, then return to the ship and be on the way to live the only life they know.
Well, that sounds kind of reasonable.
Most are pariahs. You know what a pariah is? Outcast.
Well, yeah, you meet a lot of outcasts there, all right. Grace, I've been on ships where they'd come aboard and arrest them. They were looking for them for murder and every other goddamn thing. You find that mostly under Panamanian flags in Honduras. All those outcasts usually hit them ships because they can't sail American ships.
Well, now this is pretty strong. Most are pariahs, brutish and profane men.
Mm. Yeah, well, you notice any merchant marine man will swear like hell. From the old captain on down, the old timers. But today, there's a lot of them, you know, they put on the gentleman act. But in the old days, they were all bastards. Boom. Hey.
Brutish.
Brutish. Nah. Well, sometimes when you get scum on the ship, they are some brutish ones. But usually they just get taken care of in a gentle manner.
Well, what do you call brutish?
I imagine picking on your fellow man and shit like that, that's brutish. But usually when they find somebody like that, they kind of gang up on them and teach them the lessons they're supposed to learn. You don't go around beating your crew members just because you're a sadist or something. Don't work out that way. They're damn soon put in their place. Phew, I don't know what the hell they call brutish. That's about the only thing I see brutish on a ship. Once in a while you get some crazy bastard just likes to hurt his fellow man or something. But they don't last too long. The other crew gets the crew will start working on them gently.
Now, if they go to the bar and have a free for all, that's a different matter.
Yeah, that's different. That's an old home week.
You can do it or not.
Yeah.
Most of them did it.
Next day, you'll see them all sitting around the mess table. Wasn't that a lot of fun? And all the black eyes and everything sitting there. I don't see where the fun was. Ooh, at the time you think it's fun, but man, that next day is hell. Big popped up eyes. I had many a black eye. They were hard to support, too. The good old days. Found out most of the sailors, when they meet, if one's broke and the other one's got any money, they'll damn near split what they got between them.
Yeah.
I know that's the way we used to work it. They'd call it a piece off. Like you're ashore and you're broke, when that guy'd come in, he'd sure slip you quite a few bucks to take care of you.
Even if you didn't know them, if you weren't your crewmate?
Usually you knew most of them, but some of them you wouldn't. You'd feel sorry. You'd give them enough so they could have a ball until the next ship come in and get some off the other. But some of them worked a racket on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty soon they'd get wise to them and cut them off. That's when you become a beachcomber. When you just live on the other one like a parasite.
Yeah.
And they call you beachcomber.
Well, let me tell you, Joy. Now, Now, you know, it's hard to make that distinction.
Yeah. Well, people get wise to somebody that...
But I know, but the thing that you did, knocking people down and taking a cue stick after them, is most people would say, that's pretty brutish.
That's brutish, but you go to get your ass beat. you go protect yourself if something happens.
Well, somebody got to pick it before pick a fight before you can get a black eye.
Well, that's the way it happens.
Well,
right, I got in more fights by accident than I ever did on purpose.
But that's a hard distinction to make. Now, you see, the picture you get of this in this book is, you see, that they are pariahs and outcasts, and when they're on land, they got no place to go, and they just tossed around from one bar to another, and then they go back on ship broke and do the same thing over again, you see? That's the picture you get from this.
But that isn't so. It isn't that brutish and all that bullshit. A lot of them are outcast, all right, but there's many of them that isn't. Do I look brutish to you?
Well, you talk brutish. I mean, how are you going to make the distinction?
Well, now, I never start a fight. Now, I'd go into a bar and sit down there nice and peaceful, and all of a sudden I'm in one because some punk bothers me. And then if you protect yourself, you call that brutish. I don't. I figure you either hurt that jerk or he's going to hurt you. I don't see whether there's anything brutish there.
Well, that two-day drunk down there in Rio,
that wasn't brutish, that was a ball. Everybody was on it. It was like a society having a party. Of course, it was the wrong society, but we had a party.
The jet set without an airplane.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He don't have anything about you, about the unions and
no,
and all that.
That couldn't have been much of a union ship on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what year that guy went to sea.
Well, he's I'd say, how old is Cut Patrick?
I don't know.
45, 40? 45?
I'd say 40s, something like that.
He's in the 40s.
In
the 40s. He's recent. He was a torpedo man in World War II and went to Korea. And he's in the Merchant Marine first.
Yeah, well, he'd be in his 40s for sure.
Now he'd sure be in his 40s, and he must have been awful young then.
Well, he probably was.
Yeah, because Christ's sake, you figure now the war ended in Korea. 53 the war ended in Korea.
Yeah.
Because I was sailing out of Sasebo then.
Yeah.
He'd be a hell of a lot more than 45 now.
Yeah. Well, now you take that property business, you see.
Yeah.
Most of these fellas don't have any property.
Yeah.
Well, the way the world wags, you got to have property.
Mm. Well, I used to have property, but it never done me any good. I never could hold it. I had property in Melrose, property up in Cecil Field there before the government took the whole works over. So man really ain't got a right to have nothing according to the government and all these big cities and counties and things. They can, by the right of domain, take anything you got and give you what they want for it. You figure that out? I had 20 acres on 103rd Street in Jacksonville, and the government just took the whole thing. If I hadn't gone to Billy Matthews, they wouldn't have even paid me what I paid for it. That's right. And I bought that all during the Second World War. Every time I'd come in, I'd invest in land.
So you see, oh, really?
Yeah. And I bought the place in Melrose there. And I got disgusted with that. The one guy I bought it for now got a place. He used to be my partner when we went to sea. But he used to get away from me because I used to get in all the trouble, and he didn't. But when we come back ashore, he's the one that wired me. I got him interested in Florida, and he moved down here into Melrose. His name is Walter. Oh, what the hell? I even forgot his name now. Walter Wilson, that's it. And he's got a home there in Melrose that's on the property I first bought when I come down here. He's got a home built right below the hilltop.
Well, you still don't want any property.
I don't know. I'm too goddamn old to be interested. All I got is that little shack there. That's paid for, and that's enough for me. Ew, I ain't interested in owning any more after losing everything I try to keep up.
Well, you see, what gets me, Wade, is just I don't how is a man going to handle the merchant marine? There's something in there, you know, the distinction. There's a distinction there, but damned if I could follow it.
I used to hear most of them bastards always go to get off and start a farm here or start a chicken farm or something. They all had a lot of wild ideas, but I never heard of one coming out successful yet. Oh, yeah. There's one guy, he started a business, a beer joint. That's Sam's there.
Here in town?
Going into Melrose there.
Oh,
Sam's place.
Yeah.
He's an ex-merchant man, and he's running that place. That's one of the few. Oh, yeah, Henry's Liquor Store.
Was Henry a merchant?
He was a business agent in Jacksonville for the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association. Old Henry. Now, that's the few that I know that started business.
Well, his didn't turn out successful, but his wife got everything.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens to merchant. And that's what's going to happen to Sam. Something's going to happen to him, because I've never heard of them really being real successful. Henry was for quite a while.
Yeah, and his wife found success now. That's a United Liquors guy.
Yeah. He was our business agent in Jacksonville. He was a big shot.
Does he still own Henry's? I think she left him Henry's there in Melrose, didn't she?
I'm glad
she took everything else.
That was on the Hawthorne Road, didn't you? Yeah, just before we got into Melrose. So something always happens to them. But nothing too much can happen to me unless something happens in Gainesville and they need the right of domain to go through my shack. Usually something like that turns up. And I expect that any time.
You're going to put a freeway through your house.
Yeah. I noticed they're starting one on the other, just on this side of me there. They're coming way uptown, they're coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Moving all them houses away. Christ, that's just up below me. I'm hoping they don't come through there, because I won't have a goddamn place to go. And unless I go down and live with my sister in St. Pete, I don't want to go down there, because them old cronies drive me crazy. Becky gets along good with them.
God, I want to get back.
Well, you see that's a line. I don't know who could walk it.
You know, I even tried to, one time, I was trying to unionize a state here, but you can't do that.
The whole state.
But Yeah, the one when I was down the heating plant. Well, I always believed in having a little decent union that the state ain't got their finger in. And someday it's going to be that way. I think they're getting around to it now, even. Even when I was over there, I was trying to get all them jigs to form a union, join some union. Eventually it's going to happen, instead of just the state ruling everything.
We ready?
All right. Good enough.
Well?
I hear somebody in his band. I'm hungry.
Wait, get out and get that table together. It's going to look like hell for a while.
We're going to have to, yeah. We're just going to have to put a plank out there on the concrete box of it.
It looks that way.
Table didn't get too far.
You shouldn't have stopped me when we was going until we finished.
Yeah, we'll make some. We'll put it on something. Well, you see now how I see what the there's a distinction there that's hard to get. Now you see it. Let me tell you, George.
Yeah.
He's still a merchant marine himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't go to town, but what he don't have to go into what's that place down there, 16 Broadway or something.
Well, that's the only place I saw him was 12 East. That's that's highfalutin place.
Well, I don't mean that. I mean,
no, there's another drunk bar he goes into.
Yeah. You see, he's still the same. He still got that same
attitude.
Feeling, attitude, and but I don't know what the attitude is.
I go to a lot of nice, decent places. Myself.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a character that can't get along in the places.
He gets along with everybody.
He does.
Yeah. Now how many black eyes he gets, I don't know, but he gets along nice. But he still does all these things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Now the black eyes, I don't know. But he can't pass a bar.
I think there's a reason to stay out in the woods.
I go in all the bars and I sit there. Some I never get in the argument in. But the most fault I ever found was today, if you're old and you're sitting in the bar, some jerk will come in and buy me a drink and something like that, and you buy him a drink in a nice friendly way. And before you know it, that little bastard wants to bean you or something. That's what I found out.
You didn't know a fellow named Johann Eifels, did you? About 10 or 12 years ago?
Sure.
Johann Eifels is sort of a small guy, and he has shaggy hair. And he's a good friend of mine, and I didn't know it till he left town. That he used to hang out at all those, you know, the oyster bar and every damn bar around. Everybody knew him.
Doubt, but if I knew him, but
well, if you were there about 12 years ago, I'm sure
names
you must
don't
have been
mean yeah. much to me. Oh yeah, I was in that oyster bar. Shit.
What's the name of that bar downtown on first? There was a bar downtown on the First Street, I think, on those old brick streets.
Max. Where they tore down, made a parking lot.
Yeah,
it used to be Mike's. It used to be Max. They had changed in a couple of hands there. I knew one old guy that was running for a while, Dick Page.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept the same name. That was a tough little place. I ain't got in a couple of fights in there. No reason at all for it, hardly.
Well, George, the trouble is, you see, it's a screwy world.
It sure
it's
is.
It's crazy. It's a crazy world.
I figure anybody goes in one of them joints, they got to expect to get into some kind of an argument before long as they keep going back there.
And if you get all out of the bar, you're still going to get into something.
Mm. Very seldom.
Well, the state will take your property.
Huh?
They'll take your property.
Oh. How?
Like they did at Cecil Field.
Yeah. If they get the road, a road has to go through there, they sure take it.
Well, it's a crazy world.
It sure is.
And you just sitting there all the time and
you really don't have no rights. That's what gets me mad. They want to build a road through some place, and you're no matter how long you've been there, they're going to throw you out. They get a, take a bulldozer and knock it down over your head.
Yeah.
And still, this is supposed to be a free country.
Yeah.
Years back, a man would get out and protect his property, and you can't do that now.
No.
They don't even want you to have a gun now.
No, it's changed a lot. Say, what do you want us to do? We go out there. Let's go out there and rig up a little something.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
Not turn this fan off.
The Gerald said it was mighty buggy out there. She's on the front porch lying down and on a couch. Debbie's over in the new trailer riding.
She, where's that car she's talking about?
Haven't seen it. They have some water for you, George.
Thank you.
And get a cup of coffee for you.
After all that work, we found out the easiest way to make a table. It just makes sense. But we'll keep the other one just in case we got one in built.
Salt it right up there.
Salt?
For your ashtray.
Oh, thank you. Ooh.
That's well, it's nice to sit again.
Huh?
And your brother.
Mm.
You made more money than he ever made. And
yeah. And he wound up, I guess he's got a, I don't know what the hell he did have. I know he had over 100,000 or more. I don't know what good it'll do him now. He used to give me a bad time about saving my money. And I don't know what the hell good it would have done me if I did save it, because I can't take it with me either. Well,
but he used to give you a bad time.
And he'd tell me off, the money you make, throw away. That was a bad Christmas and New Year's me and Peggy had. We had to go to his funeral. They just shipped him back from going to his son's wife's funeral. She died of cancer up in Paxton, Mass. Just at Christmas time. And on the way back, he died in the airplane. At Logan's Field. And he was telling everybody, I shouldn't say this, but I will. he was telling, see, his son works with some big insurance company. And he was telling his son's boss, he says, now I know how a poor beef in the side of beef in the icebox feels with his ass frozen. I want to get out of Massachusetts damn fast. He got as far as the airport and died.
Now say that again. He said what?
he told my nephew, or his son's boss, there's a big guy in all the insurance companies. He says, now I know how a side of beef feels with its ass frozen in the icebox. I just want to get out of Massachusetts before mine freezes up, about something like that. Got as far as the airport and died.
He never got back to Florida.
Yeah, he come back in another airplane. But he was in the coffin. They tried to hold his body in Massachusetts for an autopsy and everything, but all the Masons got after them. They damn soon shipped it down here. So we buried him New Year's Eve. So that was a Christmas we had.
Yeah.
Christmas and New Year's.
And he's the one that told you how you better conduct your business.
Yeah. Life is sure funny. Whew.
Well, this fella over there got a house, and Wade wanted to buy it.
Mm.
And he's 80 years old or so. Mm. And he don't want to sell it. He wants to keep it and get rent on it.
I wonder how long he thinks he's going to live.
He got more money than he can know what to do with.
And still he wants to get a little more on rent. If I had all the money, I didn't know what to do with, I'd go down the islands and have a ball, the last one. Last big ball.
Would that be a good place?
Yeah, it's nice down there, like Trinidad and them places. It's kind of bad now because I hear the blacks are kind of running nutty down there. Phew. But geez, I can stand that weather better than up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at nighttime it seems you get a cool breeze in from the ocean.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Seems a hell of a lot better than around here.
Well, all the time you were in port, you slept on the ship.
Yeah, not all the time. I usually got a room ashore when the ship was in port.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Just for a change?
Yeah, I used to always find a room and give it up just when the ship was getting ready to leave.
Well, I was just thinking about the air. You'd be out where the air is. Course in port.
Well, when you're in the docks and things like that, you ain't got too much air.
Yeah, yeah.
Tend to one, there's a big warehouse laying on the one side of the ship, and that might be the side that you're sleeping on. Sometimes the breeze don't smell too good.
Well, now you're out in the open water, you see. You always got a little breeze.
Oh, yeah.
If the wind's not blowing, the ship's moving.
Yeah.
So you got to breathe that way.
I always had fans and things, so I never worry much. Right in the porthole.
Huh?
I always had a fan in the porthole.
In the porthole?
Yeah. And little fans you take and stick them in the porthole.
And blow it in?
Yeah. Or else they had these ventilators. I call them little ventilators you take and... They were a little chute, and you push it out, and you could adjust it to how the wind was blowing.
Yeah. And that would pull the air.
Did you ever see one of them shoved out a porthole?
No.
They have them.
Yeah. See that handsome fella? Put your head over this way. Lean over a little bit. This way. You can't see. You got to lean over this way, George. Put your...
Right out there. He's right through the window.
Well, through the window.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the birds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't see him. Yeah, old red top.
He's red bellied.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Watch him take a hit.
See there?
Yeah, regular knothead.
He likes that suet. He's out there eating suet. You see.
Suet, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that if there's any meat or something left over, I'd give him the fat off of it. But Peggy don't stop to think, and she throws in the garbage, and I bawl hell out of it. Get it out and get it to the birds.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I never thought of making something like that so the cats couldn't get at him so much. I'm going to make her some kind of a little tree thing so they can roost along it and eat without being bothered by dogs. And that neighborhood's full of dogs and cats also.
Yeah.
Whew, I'm waiting to kill off the dogs.
Well, let me tell you, you know, I hadn't thought about that, George. Yeah. But what Uncle Dick and Uncle Johnny said this morning, Uncle Dick, he said they put that big fence around there to keep the dogs out.
Yeah.
You know, I could put a fence around this and stick it out there a little further, you see.
Yeah.
And,
well, you ain't bothered much by cats and dogs here.
At night, the dogs are all here all the time.
Oh, they're running around hunting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, they don't bother birds at night.
Yeah.
And the cat don't bother because I shoot at them. I don't kill them.
I don't kill them. I hit them between the eyes. It kind of stuns them a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I use that little air gun and I just pop them.
Yeah.
And they don't care for that. They take the lesson.
Well, you wouldn't think that in back of my house that was full of rabbits.
No.
Man, I can't. Me and Peggy, she didn't believe me at first. One day I showed her two of them sitting there eating. The other morning there was three of them. Three rabbits.
Eating your garden?
Yeah, and they won't move. You can be talking and everything. The damn rabbits will sit there and eat. And we stick the cat out on them. The cat. But that part of them, without bothering them, just sitting there watching them. I thought the I thought the cat was crazier than the rabbits. Hey, that's warm. Am I doing something here? Yeah, that's some cat.
Now he's back again.
Hmm?
He's back.
Mm. Yeah, he's going to get his belly full.
You use some cream?
There's cream.
There's a little bit in there, I think. Oh, no, there is.
No, I think I'm
pouring
that.
Oh. All I need is a drop. Whew. But I don't know. I'm still going to try to get a... If I ever do get locate a little wider board, that 4x8 sheet wouldn't be no good. Let's cut it down.
Say, I didn't realize he's as close to Noonan's Lake as he is, and that's a big clear. They keep that open. And he don't have to go anywhere fishing. He got it right there.
Gosh, he got one right in the yard almost.
Yeah. Now, that's about 4 miles from the house.
Yeah, but it's right over there.
Yeah.
Right over at him. And it's pretty over there.
Yeah.
It's pretty. We drive along one side of it there, all trees and woods.
Mm-hmm.
We drove along Drunkard's Paradise.
Oh.
Well, sometimes when they hit 60 to 80 miles an hour, they go right off into the lake.
You see, dead
end of
the lake.
You never know at nighttime.
I think they must keep it that way, George, because they don't seem to be too well marked.
Hmm. I thought they had fenced that corner in, but they never have. Jesus, they still go off into that lake when they're drunk. Maybe they figure that's a good way to get rid of the drunks.
Well, you know, that might be something.
Yeah. They used to have a juke joint there, right on that, where that thing is there. In fact, I helped build that one time around some trees. Me and this little carpenter from Lake Butler.
Mm-hmm.
We built it right around trees. And Jim Gay there, he used to own some of the jukes around. And they tore that down. Got to be a lonesome place in that corner.
George said, We were talking about a cake. You couldn't walk across the floor, or the cake would fall.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, he said on a ship, didn't anything fall.
Yeah, sometimes I'd be going up and down or over and back and forth. The cakes never fell. I don't know why it was.
How about that?
That's why I'd come home and my mother would be baking a cake. I was a kid then even. She'd say, "Watch out now, you drop the cake." I says, "Ma, on the ship, they're always baking cakes and they never fall." And she'd blow me on. "Don't you do it here." Oh man, seems funny. Huh?
He was a cook. He baked cakes.
You were a cook.
Yeah, second cook and baker.
Why George?
I used to do some of the craziest things in the world. I'd get sick of sailing as an engineer and quit the job and go ashore and. There'd be some ship going out on a second cook and baker, and I'd grab that job for a while just to break the monotony of the other job.
Oh, so you just took the job
yeah.
and had the ship you wanted.
And then they put out a rule in that an engineer could only be an engineer. Years back, you could be a mate and an engineer. You could hold two tickets. You can't do that no more. You got to have one or the other now. Sailing on one of them. I think the Coast Guard started that too.
Yeah.
Well, they put a stomp on everything.
Yeah. Now that's since you was in it.
Huh? Yeah.
They took over since you were in it.
Yeah, they took over while I was in it. Yeah. I was one of the few that had to turn in a good license, get one of them old Coast Guard licenses. My first license, I thought more of that than any of them. First license has had an old-time beam engine picture on the front of it and everything. And I had to turn it and get one of them hooligan Navy licenses. I never did like the looks of them.
Your first one had what?
An old beam engine, you know, one of them that had the walking beams on them. Real old-time.
A beam engine.
Yeah, that's what they call them, beam engines.
Real old time. And your license had a picture of that.
Yeah. I was so proud of that license. And I had to turn it in for a hooligan Navy license.
For what?
A hooligan Navy license. That's what I call the Coast Guard. Hooligan Navy.
Hooligan?
Yeah.
Hooligan?
Yeah, in them days they were hooligans. Yeah. I always respected the Navy, but the Coast Guard, I never had no use for them.
Hooligan.
Hooligan Navy.
Yeah. Well.
But now, years back, the Coast Guards never got into none of this war affair. Now they're always right up there first. Damn near.
Yeah.
They sure got into these last wars. Whew.
They won't go in
there. I don't know, Faye. I imagine Peggy is, you know, she's, I don't know that.
I think she's ready.
She don't need to stay too long, Peggy.
Don't matter much. She'll go at a moment's notice.
She's ready. She's got her bag and everything right with it. She's on the
phone. Well, it's just up to her. Second cook and baker.
Mm.
So you'd actually do the work, and they just.
Well, you'd have a helper, like you, and all the vegetables that were peeled and all that. They'd call him a vegetable cook, and he'd just do all that work for you. And all you did was cook, but the bacon part you had to do yourself.
Yeah.
Mixing all the dough and stuff.
You'd have to mix the dough and then put it in there and cook it.
I used to be able to remember all that stuff in my mind. Now I can't even think of it. But I'll still get up and make a loaf of bread when I feel like it or something like that. I have to do that at home now if I want something without it being burnt.
Without it being burnt.
I want a biscuit, I gotta bake it. Peggy tries, but everything she tackles, she burns. Yeah. I keep trying to show, but yeah. Ew. You gotta go someplace?
No. We just think about you all, about your bad pair, you and Peggy.
As long as you don't get us home before you have to drive in the dark, anyhow. What time is it, anyways? About 4?
4:30 hours. 4:30. Shall I ask Peggy?
You just ask her. That'd be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's entirely up to her.
It's bad driving at night coming home in the dark.
We don't mind that.
Hmm?
Just back away is no trouble.
Ooh. I don't know. Next time I get out here, we finish the other end of that other table.
Mm-hmm.
We got all, it's all cut out now. That I got to figure a way of making braces for that.
Yeah.
I don't know why the hell you can't take two by fours and cut them on an angle and nail them with a cross piece across it. You got a few spare two bys there, but no, that wouldn't be enough for it.
Mm-hmm.
Have to get a few more.
Let me tell you, I believe this new system we got is way yonder superior to that, because after you get that thing put together, it's going to be heavy.
That's right.
And you can't move it.
Moving around.
Yeah.
You're right. I figured if you had one ready and you had a lot more company, you could just slap it out there.
Yeah.
But I don't think you'll ever have a whole big bunch anyways, will you?
Oh, well, if we do, we can put two of them out there.
Yeah.
We can make... Do you ever eat out?
I eat in the yard in the summertime sometimes. I just sit out there in the yard.
You got a table?
Huh? We can make one. I got a folding table. Huh?
Are you ready, honey?
Yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ooh. Every time she comes, she brings something back.
I'm going to make some of these.
Well, now, they're profitable.
I know.
They are indeed.
There, she's been using that in the bathtub, the sinks, even in the dishes.
Yeah.
Well, I got 6 of them.
You have. Please don't use the same one for the toilet.
What?
You use it for the bathtub.
I use it for the toilet, too, and the dishes.
If I ever caught you, I'd kill you.
Peggy says she's not used to staying up so much.
No, I thought
she's ready to go.
Right.
I told her
staying up. She's never in. She's always in bed, but she ain't sleeping.
That's what I was hoping she'd take a nap out there.
You know, that it's cool out there.
Uh huh. And she said she was ready to go.
She'll sit up and watch that TV. That's all she does from now until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and it'll still be going till when I get up at 6 or 7 o'clock.
Well,
the TV's still on.
When it feels quiet.
And that does bother my sleep. That I keep waking up in between times.
Where's that thing? I just thought of a patent in that.
Give me my ashtray right there.
Is that your ashtray?
Yeah.
Well, how about that? Watch it.
This thing says, now this is, I think I can find it. When they get off for shore leave, they dressed up, George. Sliding his 6-inch steps, the bosun came to the gangway in a new khaki shirt and breeches and slicked hair. Pee-wee, fingering his mustache, told the fat fireman, soak this in cold water, it grows every day. Pee-wee wore a narrow white hat, white shoes, white shirt, white suit, and a tongue of yellow flame for a tie.
Yeah, they look pretty good when they go ashore. You should see them on the return trip.
And the Fat Fireman was the only other crewman wearing a suit. And the captain came down the deck in a brown business suit carrying a small bag.
Must have been ashore getting the money.
And talking to one of the mates. They too carried small bags, as did the cook from the galley.
Yeah, he was sneaking home the bacon. Taking to some girl he knew. That's the only reason the cook would take a bag.
And he dressed in a shark skin suit and Panama hat.
Yeah, really do.
So they was pretty well decked out, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, dressed real snappy, and then when you see them the next morning, they ain't got the shirts and they ain't got the suit. They have to start getting ready for to get a fresh suit. Amen. But them was a good old day. Oh, I'm glad
you
I
never,
that way now.
You never messed around a carnival or a show.
No, I hated them crooked bastards. You show me a carnival,
George.
And I'll show you a bunch of crooks.
George.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready at a moment's notice. Leave that siren on the back of your car, and I'll pick it up someday.
Is it what, the song?
Yeah. No, just leave it there. Leave it in there. I'll get it someday.
All right.
I'll be able to borrow one if I need one.
Well, around 9 or 1000, and the end of the visit was George Weil, this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74. Channel 1 over, around 1000. And the end of the visit with George Weil, this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74. Channel 1 right, over, Channel 1 over. Round 1000, and the end of the visit with George Weil this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74.
Well, that's it, Pee-wee.